So I'm sitting here with Rose George, the author of the book 90% of Everything. Where should we start? How did you come up with the idea of writing a book on shipping?
Well, it is a little odd because I do not come from a maritime family. No one in my family went to sea, as far as I know. I lived inland in England. We didn't go to sea that often. And I was a journalist and author, but writing about pretty different subjects. So my last book was about sanitation and sewage. And okay, two things. The longer story is that when I first went freelance as a journalist in 1999, the first assignment I took, because I left a staff job and I wanted to move, and the first assignment I took was on a container ship going across the Atlantic in midwinter with 22 Indians. It was a Canmar, Canada Maritime ship. They don't exist anymore. The Canmar Pride. And it was about, I think it was a 9-day trip. Pretty bad weather. And it was just, but it was just fascinating and mesmerizing. And it was just an entirely different world. And I just thought there was nowhere else on the planet like being at sea on a working ship in the middle of the ocean with nothing around you except water and sky for miles, hundreds of miles around. So I thought back to that when I wanted to do my third book, and I just thought I'd quite like to go back to sea. And then when I started looking into the statistics and realizing how absolutely profoundly ignorant I was about this enormous, massive, fundamental industry, well, it just came kind of compelling, and so I went to sea.
I've read the book. How did you get the permission to go first on the Maersk vessel and then on these military vessels? I was amazed. How did you get on board?
I think I was lucky with my timing. I mean, I first approached Maersk in, it was either late 2009 or early 2010. I can't remember. But it was the time when it was the really, really massive recession and shipping was really in trouble, really. And so that was when lots and lots of ships were laid up all over the world, and you got these photographs of hundreds of ships laid up outside Singapore and off anchor, I can't remember where else. But anyway, so Maersk, I went to see Maersk. I went to see their publicist in London. And I said, will you let me go to sea on one of your ships? And they said, they must get lots of requests all the time. Because people must approach them first, exactly for the reason that I did, that they were the biggest container shipping company. So, even though I'd never heard of them, really, before. Which is, I know, amazing. But, so they said, well, first of all, we've got these ships laid up in Loch Striven in Glasgow, and the BBC want to film a children's programme on them. So would you like to come up and write about that, and then we'll talk? So I did, and then I can't remember the process. It took a few months, but eventually they said yes, and they never restricted me in any way. They never said that I had to write certain things, or they gave me pretty much free rein. And so that was Maersk. And then the military ship, excuse me, the military ship was pretty much the same technique, was I just wrote and then I just kept asking and kept asking and kept asking. It's the same way I got down the sewers in London. And I had to go, I think the trick is to try and have a face-to-face encounter with someone and to explain who you are and why you want to do it. And so I ended up going to Northwood, which is where NATO is headquartered in the UK and also is the base for EU NAVFOR. And I went there and I had lunch and I explained myself. And eventually, although there was no British ship in the fleet at the time, they put me on the flagship, which was the Portuguese ship. And they put me on there because there was already an international staff on there. So there was about 15 international staff as well as the Portuguese. So that's how I got on that ship. But it wasn't easy. And I remember, because I thought at one point I wanted to sort of complete the trilogy of ocean voyages. So I'd been across the Atlantic. I'd been across the Indian Ocean on the Maersk Kendal, and then I thought, well, I'd better go across the Pacific. So I tried to go on a ship across the Pacific to get a passage, and I couldn't get one. And I remember I didn't want to ask Maersk again, so I approached other companies in other countries, and nobody would let me on, really. So it wasn't always that easy. So I think I was lucky with Maersk.
Do you still wish to go on the Pacific?
Well, actually, ironically, now I think it would be very easy for me, or much, much easier for me to go on pretty much most ships. Because I've had lots of offers and I've met lots of people in the industry. And actually, somebody who worked for one of the shipping lines who would not let me on and actually wrote me an email saying, no, you're not coming on our ships. He came up to me and I said, well, you know that yours is one of the companies that wouldn't help me. And he said, oh, and he was very embarrassed. And he said, well, you know, anytime. So, yeah, and then I've met Royal Navy people who said, you're welcome to go on any of our vessels. And so I think now it would be easier. But that's the irony of doing a book, is it becomes a lot easier because you meet a lot of people once the book comes out. It's often a bit little tricky when you're actually doing the book.
So the $1 million question to you is, how does the shipping industry get less invisible? I mean, you state that we are invisible. And what is your best advice of how should we go about to become more famous, or how do you put that?
Well, I think the shipping industry over the past few years has become more visible. I mean, I think there was my book, there was another book by Horatio Clare came out about 6 months later. Also got a lot of reviews and attention. I think Captain Phillips helped quite a lot. The Robert Redford film helped a lot. So I think it is slightly more visible. And I think one of the big things is that the industry has... I mean, you know, when I talked about how it was difficult for me to get on another ship, I think there was just, not suspicion, but people are wary of journalists, and it's not been a very outward-looking industry. It hasn't had to be, because it's a business-to-business industry, a lot of family companies, a lot of, you know, it's quite a private industry in many ways, and so it hasn't had to really look out. And so I think when a journalist comes up, or an author comes up and says, can I go on your ship and write anything I like, obviously there is going to be some trepidation. And I think they've understood that books can come out and journalism can be published that is perhaps critical, and I think my book is critical. And I've been really surprised at how warmly it's been received in the industry. I didn't expect that at all. I've been really, really pleasantly surprised, because I thought it would just be taken wrongly would be taken as just a negative portrayal of the industry. I don't think it is. I think I hope that it comes across. One reviewer described the book as a love story to the Kendall, and I really loved being on board. Really, really loved it. And I really salute and support seafarers and many people in the industry. We have a different relationship now, but so I think the shipping industry, I think it's discovered that it's mature enough and big enough to be able to take some criticism and to be challenged, and I think it's responding to that really interestingly and really positively.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I understand you're going to be rewarded for some kind tonight, of some kind. I'm not going to tell you more about it, but hopefully you will see it as an appreciation from all the women in shipping anyhow to you and what you did with your book. We really love it. And I think people should actually have a look at your TED Talk, because I love that as well, the one you did in Singapore.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, I was given, I think it was 12 minutes to sum up shipping. I mean, it's not, you know, it's quite a tall order. And I had actually that TED Talk, I had just flown to Singapore and had no sleep, and I was basically, there was pure coffee running through my veins at that point. So I'm glad that it was, I think it's been seen by 1.5 million people. And if 1.5 million people now know more about shipping than they did, and I know that they do, because I still get emails pretty much every day of people writing to me saying, oh my goodness, I didn't know that about shipping, I had no idea. And I think there's a real appetite for, this is something I wish the industry would understand and get better at, and I think it probably is getting better, but that people are interested. There's this sense that nobody, you know, we're underappreciated, nobody wants to know about our industry, but I think people do.